it had to do with just, I think, my life and covenant and the covenant. And I took back that covenant, that image of that covenant, and it's gone deep inside of me, like a really good foundation for where he wants to take me.
Okay, good. Excellent. Very good. Okay, so does anyone else want to share what happened with them?
It's a little hard in the car.
That's okay, it's fine.
I went to a light busting session and I got back my intuition. Yeah. But I was going to ask you about that maybe, you know, right now or after the trophy room thing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, carry on.
Okay. Well, there's a big thing going on with me, and this has been for like a while. You know, it's like sometimes it's like people get saved and their whole world changes.
Yeah.
Well, now it's my intuition. It's like, okay, I was a Christian for 10 years now. Now it's my intuition. So it's like, I think it's probably I'm one step away from a whole different world of, you know, living my Christian life. And it has to do with following the Holy Spirit through my intuition. Because I know the Bible says that, you know, don't lean on your own understanding and he will direct your path.
Yeah.
And then it also says that we walk by faith and not by sight. So, and then I try to, you know, reason it out like, you know, I have to be certain in order to follow my intuition. I have to be certain. So, but then when I try to follow my intuition, it's like there's no certainty. There's no assurance. But there is faith and there is, I have to trust. Okay, so I try to follow my intuition or the nudges, the prompts in my intuition, which is by my gut. You know, my belly.
Yeah.
And so, okay, I go do that. You know, if I go pray for somebody, and let's say I get something that their back is, you know, something's wrong with their back. So I'll go pray for them, and if it's good, then great. But if it's not good, then it's like, wait, I was following my intuition. So it's like there's this hit and miss type of battle I'm trying to get through. But then another thing too is like when I try to follow my intuition, it's like sometimes they'll tell me to, during church worship, like get on the floor and crawl around or, you know, dance crazy. And then out of the service, like out of church, in public, you know, start crawling around or you know, just smile at somebody. I don't know, it just leads me to so many twisted places. And that's what I'm kind of like. But, you know, I do follow that too, you know, the crazy things. And I'll just do wild things, but it has like untangled me, like with energy. There's just like this entanglement, a yoke that I've been twisted with. So when I think I hear my intuition, maybe it's like untwisting. So I just really need to walk in my intuition, and it's very difficult.
Sure. Well, intuition is one of the spirit gates, one of the senses of our spirit, which is often more attuned to feelings and impressions than direct words. But my encouragement would be to walk through that spirit gate and to stand in it with Jesus and actually see what's on the outside of it, what's connecting between the spirit and the soul. Because this it's really important to get a flow that flows from your spirit through those gates. And what can happen is in our previous operations of our soul, our soul can learn to engage intuition, but can engage it for its own purpose independently of the spirit. And we need to separate our soul and spirit. Ian Clayton obviously does a big teaching on separating soul and spirit. But what it is, sometimes our soul, and that can be our imagination or the area of our emotions, sometimes they draw from the spirit life for independence. So we can operate in our soul on intuition or emotions or feelings or impressions that lead us to things which are illegitimate because they're drawing life to operate independently. And when we engage our spirit and we begin to open that spirit gate intuition, and we begin to experience the Holy Spirit inspiring us, moving us, leading us, we want to make sure that that is not operating in any way of the soul. So if there is a soul tie or a connection from our emotions to that intuition gate, which in the past has led us to operate in the way of the soul, then we need to separate that and to see that broken. And we can cut that soul tie, and then our intuition can operate more clearly. It will be flowing from the directly from the Spirit and from the moving of the Holy Spirit in us. And so sometimes it's just a matter of making sure that's cleansed. We can invite the fire of the presence of God to come through that intuition gate. We can look to see the glory of God manifest through it, and that can create a greater dimension of flow through intuition. But also be aware that actually there are other spiritual senses we need to engage as well. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with engaging the others, faith, hope, revelation that goes with it. You know, so sometimes intuition, if we're unsure of those feelings, then we can engage revelation and engage the revelation gate to get actually direct revelation that goes with the intuition. Because the whole Spirit needs to work together, you know, and reverence can work with that, and the fear of God can work with that to guide us, so that our whole spirit, soul, and body begins to function together. So our conscience can direct us and protect us from anything which is going to not bring honor or glory to God, which works for reverence. So when we practice, we sort of practice operating the different gates, but actually, in reality, we need to get them all functioning together so we become one and become whole. And so intuition and revelation will go together with reverence, and prayer is just communicating that and seeing a flow of communication which goes to our mind, so that we also have understanding in terms of reason, that is not trying to reason it within our heart, but actually gives us understanding in our mind to go with it. You know, so there's a whole gamut of things there that as we develop and as we make sure that we remove the blockages and the hindrances and anything which would be familiar spirits that would operate there that may be associated with things we've done in the past, to make sure everything's flowing purely. Because the pure in heart will see God, you know, and we need a purification process that goes with all these things. And we learn, you know, I never operated much on intuition. I've operated by revelation, and the reason in my mind, but I've become much more intuitive once I began to clear all my gateways out. And so I get a lot more gut feelings. You know, and we do have three brains, so we have neurons and things that operate within our gut and within our heart and within our brain, physical brain. So all those we need to learn to tune into and engage with, so that we can become much more sharp and clear in that. And sometimes God gets us to do things which don't seem to have a result. But actually it was the obedience that he was looking for, because he wants us to operate out of obedience, not out of results. And so sometimes he will get us to do some crazy things and some weird things, and we look at it back and think, what was all that about? You know, why it didn't seem to have any purpose, but actually there is a purpose that God has in some of those things, and there's training in obedience. You know, so intuition is a really important aspect of our spirit and sense that we have, but actually it's just one of eight others. So we can function together in them to get a full picture of things. You know, and if we're not in peace about something, I wouldn't do it. You know, I operate in peace. My conscience operates with peace like an umpire that rules over me. Now, I know when there's a difference between taking a risk and stepping out in faith because I feel God's called me to do something and my soul would resist that out of fear, than lack of peace. And there's a difference, and we have to learn to discern the difference so that we're not hindered by fear to actually step out and do something which may seem crazy or wild, but also our conscience guides us through peace so that we are in peace about what we're going to do, even though it might be difficult or it's a risk to step out and do something, but we actually feel a sense of peace in it. And again, that's just developing all the different senses to help us function on our day-to-day basis. And also, I think Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. And so a safeguard is to step into the realm of heaven and to look in and see what the Father's doing. You know, and that will help us with a mandate to do things. You know, there's a general sense where God's given us his word that we can do lots of things, like lay hands on the sick and pray for people in that sense. But actually, did Jesus do that to everybody, or did he only do what he saw the Father doing? And so a good safeguard is to make sure that we're clear we have a mandate from God to do something, and then we know we have authority to go with it. You know, and that could be a mandate to operate in our intuition, to engage that in a particular way. But there's nothing wrong in actually getting some specific, direct things from God to help us, which gives us a sense of authority. You know, so, yeah.
Okay. That was a great answer.
Yeah, it was.
It's fine. So, has anyone else got any questions or feedback from last time? Are you prepared to share?
I'd like to go back to the people's reaction to where we went last time, because that was, for me, that was amazing and fearful, and got a lot of land. I went and got a lot of land. And I don't really know what that means, but it was a lot. And so I know that land has been stolen from my grandmother and swindlers and things like that. And I would like to go back. I don't know if I want to do it today because I'm in the car and it's a little weird. But it feels like a place for me that I'm going to visit a lot. And I feel like it's connected to my voice, and I understand why I kind of my whole pathway and why I do worship, and it's all kind of connected, and it feels like it's connected in some way to deliver. It all felt really connected, and but I am very fearful. I just thinking about going by myself. I'm like, but I wanted to know what other people had experienced and what they thought about.
Okay, well, if anyone's wanting to share any of their experience, we actually had a lady on Sunday who had been into the trophy room and saw bottles of translucent oil, and she brought some of those out, and it was about setting people free from some of the blockages that hinder them seeing in the realm of the spirit and believing to be able to see. So she released some of those on Sunday over people as we sort of prayed for people. You know, I normally don't pray for people in this stuff, but I really felt as we were embarking on a journey, taking people from the beginning through, that I needed to impart something to them. So I gave them an impartation of what I can see as a seed to plant, and then to see that grow as they tended it and cultivated it. Because we can, you know, we can receive the gift of distinguishing of spirits and discerning things as an impartation, but it obviously, you have to then cultivate what you receive as an inspiration, rather than it getting a full-blown plant grown. You know, I mean, it's taken me years to cultivate what I can see, but I can impart something of that to others. So we did that on Sunday, which was quite cool. And this lady here went to the trophy room and saw these vials. So she released them onto people after I prayed for them so that they would have a loosing of any bondages or anything that would hinder them. So that was my testimony of the trip this week. But if anyone want to share from last time, feel free.
So what do I do? What do I do with that land? I mean, what is that? I know I'm tied to several cities and nations, but what do you? I brought it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I brought out what I could. I brought out quite a bit. And but what do you do with it?
You do with it. Well, so, it depends really on what.
I kind of released it. Then I was like, okay, what does that mean?
Yeah. So, well, if you're getting back something that's been robbed from you, then you know, there could be an expectation that that might come back in a physical sense, but it's more likely that it's associated with spheres of authority that you're to carry influence over, and also for others. You may be called to, mandated to go and lease other people's inheritances that come, if that's the mandate that you've got. It depends really on exactly what God's called you to do. And again, what I would do when I receive something like that, I would just go back and take it back before God or wisdom and just seek revelation. Okay, you know, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, is this my land? Is it my spheres of kingdom authority that I'm going to have greater dimensions of authority over, people groups or dimensional things with people or situations or cities or various things? You know, is this land that, you know, we're going to use as a city of refuge in the future? This is something that we can use, and God is giving this to develop places where people are going to come into places of security and safety. You know, there's all sorts of potential things, and I think my encouragement in any encounters that you get, once you've journaled them, revisit them in meditation, meditate around them, take them to your garden, take them before the wisdom, and just ask for revelation. Ask God to show you, you know, what is this? You know, and then as you begin to meditate around it, you get deeper understanding to it. And you know, and the best thing in all these things is to develop the relationship where you can begin to ask God those type of things and just hear what he says. You know, get a flow, build up that flow of communication that comes as maybe a small still voice or thoughts and impressions that come to us when we ask, and learn to journal our answers. You know, I tend to journal everything. I write down whatever God says, then I've got a record of it. I find if I don't do that, I get so much things that I can forget it. You know, even though it was something really important, everything's important. The next day I'll get something else. So I make sure that I record it. You know, and then every so often I go back over a period of time and look at what is it that God has said, what were the things I journaled, you know, what are the things that I feel I need to go back to, I feel that they have been outworked or they're still to be outworked, therefore I go back and think, wow, yeah, I've not seen that yet. So I will go back maybe and get drawn to something particular that I need to focus on. So I do sort of fairly regular reviews of the things that I engage in to make sure that I'm on track with it or the timing's right for things, so that I can to make sure I don't just receive something and then not outwork it. And I, you know, I get a whole load of stuff. You know, I mean, I've got journals. I use my tablet to write it all down, so it turns it into text, so then I can put it into a Word file and I can go back and look at it. So it's easier, then I can search for certain things and find them. So, you know, go back to God with what you saw and then just get further revelation of it. I think that would be my encouragement. So, yeah. So anyone else want to share anything from last time?
Mike, I was just wondering, I'm thinking like what I received, I went in for some people I know, and that's what really touched my heart. And I'm just, you know, I've been praying, I've been doing the repentance, and I know they were very specific to his family and the generations behind him, but it's almost like I'm being led by the Lord rather than trying to make something happen, you know, because I feel like there's a shift going on and there's decisions being made. And I don't know if you can move that. I'm not sensing to really move it in my own intercession. I mean, how do you stand in that position? You know what I mean? Because we only do as the Father leads, you know, just like Jesus. But, you know, I'm also practicing this even in my church. You know, I can see a lot of things, but I'm just kind of being led, and then I hear confirmation through the, you know, leaders of the church, the atmosphere is changing, releasing things. Yeah. But, like, where do I step up? Because that's what I feel like the Lord is showing me personally, that he keeps putting me on my mountain and my authority, but it's like, I think I'm just doing obedience. I don't know.
Well, obedience is always good. Yeah, there's nothing wrong in obedience. The key, as you say, is what is the Father doing? So long as you're not stepping outside of the sphere of influence and authority you've been given, then you can minister out of the desires of your heart that God has placed there. The more you draw near around the ark of the presence of God and you spend time there regularly, the more your desires of your heart gets aligned with what his desires are and also aligned with your destiny and the things you're called to do. And, you know, There's nothing wrong with taking people or situations back around his presence to get his perspective, because sometimes you need to come from that out of the face of the lion, and you need mm-hmm. to rule, and you need to roar, and you need to bring that sense of kingship and authority, and hey, we're going to change something, and we're going to bring new laws into place, so those type of things. Sometimes you come from the perspective of the ox, and you're bringing a prophetic perspective, so you begin to declare and you call forth and you prophesy and you speak out so that those things can be spoken into the atmosphere, and then the angels can get alongside those words that you've spoken. You know, sometimes it's the eagle, and you soar and you see things from a higher perspective, so you see a bigger picture around people's lives, so you're looking from a higher sphere above and you're looking down. So you're not just looking at the one thing. Maybe someone's in a pit and you look in the pit and it's all dark. But actually, when you see from a bigger perspective, you see that there's a lot of things going on around in the realm of the kingdom, that God's at work, the angels are at work, and this is just a temporary situation. So you can see a bigger picture. So from that side of it, that's another way of looking, as you look into what God is doing and his will. And also the man and the function of the priestly function, which is that much more, I'm going to stand on behalf of people, therefore I need to understand, you know, what is it that the enemy has that gives them influence or affects them? You know, what is it that the enemy's doing to keep them in that situation? You know, how do I stand? Therefore I go to the courts, maybe. So I stand, therefore, in identification. I get the accusations. I find out, you know, what is it that the enemy is doing here? You know, and then I can begin to administer out of that. So I might need to release, I might need to bind those people to a sense of the purpose of God or the destiny of God, if they may be moving off out of God's plan for their lives. Or I may need to loose them from the things that I can see, release the judgment of God against the familiar things that seek to bind them or restrict them. You know, there's lots of things you can begin to do around situations as you take them into the judicial process, and that's what the priestly function is, to go and stand in the gap, stand on behalf, accept accusations, and then you can go and release forgiveness over people, you know, lots of different things. Use the keys of the kingdom depending on the perspective that you're looking into it. So my encouragement would be, you know, don't just go from one perspective, but look to get a fuller picture of what's going on around the situations. So if someone has been robbed, or their inheritance has been robbed, or their something about their mantle has been robbed, or even that they're not yet believers because their whole destiny has been robbed, then it's getting insight into, you know, what has enabled the enemy to blind their eyes so that they can't see the truth yet. And then we can begin to minister into that, to speak into that truth, and to see darkness removed. And by releasing forgiveness over specific accusations, then we can open the people's lives up for the Holy Spirit to bring revelation or insight, the angels to involved in their lives to begin to maneuver situations around them that will open them up to the good news, to see and to have a revelation of their need of God. Lots of different things around that. So I would bring the situations around the presence of God, around the ark, and then begin to try and look from his perspective outwards, and then speak from the different perspectives that you see, because then that's where you get your mandates to function around there, you know, if that makes sense. Yeah.
That's good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Keep me more busy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of work to do, but it's fun.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for that answer you gave me about the intuition. So I was thinking about it, and when I try to go with intuition, I like that there's not a lot of work. You know, it's like, it's just follow my gut, and yeah. It can lead me to just go, you know, throw out my coffee or whatever, you know, it's just wild stuff. And it, sometimes it's freeing because it moves past fear, and it's just a big programming, like a revolution in my mind. And I just feel like so much energy afterwards, and I just keep going. Everything gets aligned because it's like, if I don't follow my understanding, it's like he will direct my path. So it's like you said, it's kind of tune it like my tuning fork, you know, tune it up so it can be more sharper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I like that. So would it be safe to just, you know, can you just hammer this a little bit more? Because I'm not sure. I'm just like, I feel like I think I need a little bit more understanding of how to. Is it, I mean, can we flow? I know we can flow in our imagination, but is it good to just flow with our intuition?
Well, as you learn to develop it, yeah. I mean, everything's a flow. It just flows through different gateways and then engages the soul in different areas. So, you know, when I engage reverence, there's a flow which really moves my conscience, and that brings a sense of peace and helps me in terms of making decisions based on not what it is for me, but will it affect God in any way, positively, negatively. So my conscience becomes my guide and my protector into decisions I make. And because I can engage that and choose to engage it, I've grown in it, and therefore it now just flows and functions, you know, as part of my life. I don't have to think about it so much. I just get guided and directed because I've opened those gateways. I keep them open. And I work on it. You know, I did do a lot of work on them. You know, I went back through each year of my life, as suggested by Ian, and I looked at each gateway of my soul, and I looked to see everything that I'd done in my life, which was an access point for the enemy to hinder, block, obstruct, make it unclear, use it against me in any way. You know, and I went back through each year, right back to before I was born, and you know, had revelation about certain things that were said and done. You know, certain for me, I had to acknowledge certain pathways of behavior, patterns, issues that I had done and used in the past that the enemy still would use if I didn't clear them out. And so I went through a whole process of repentance and renunciation of things, using the blood of Jesus to block out images, cleanse my conscience, make it sharp, heal my emotions, make my emotions flow out of wholeness rather than out of hurt. You know, because part of the problem with our emotions, they're a really good servant but a really bad master. And so they can get us into trouble if we operate out of our emotions, not guided by the spirit. And, you know, emotions are things that, you know, on a negative sense, create things like anxiety and things like that. But on a positive sense, then we're moved by them, because Jesus was moved with compassion. You know, and the word compassion is a Greek word, splegliptsomai, and it actually means moved in the gut. And so that would be, he was moved, his actually emotions moved him through a flow of seeing what the Father was doing, and it moved him to action. And sometimes it moved him to anger. The same area in our emotions that moved Jesus to have compassion on people also moved him to make a whip in the temple and drive out the money changers and turn over the tables, righteously angry at what was going on as people were being led astray and they were being robbed and they were being manipulated, and the whole money changers thing was trading, because they had a whole system of religious order which meant people had to go and buy their animals for sacrifice because they said no one else's animals were good enough, and they had certain money that could only be used in the temple, therefore they had to exchange that money and they made money on it. It was a whole religious system of finances that the enemy used, you know, and Jesus was angry righteously, therefore he was moved to do something. So his emotions were pure, and we have to be really careful when we're moved to anger that we don't look for revenge, or we don't use our anger to make ourselves feel better rather than our anger to bring justice into a situation. So all these things, the more we deal with the issues of our own heart, and our hearts generally are moved by three things: unmet needs, so needs that we never had met as children and in our upbringing, therefore there is still a hole in us that needs filling, and we often use the world and other things to try and fill those holes. You know, unhealed hurts, so where we have been damaged or hurt by others, but we've not been fully healed, and unresolved issues, things we never understood or could understand that created confusion or doubt or fear around us. And if we don't get those things dealt with, they can still motivate us. And so that's why there's often a mixture in how we do things. And that's why that mixture needs to be dealt with. That's why we trade on those things. So we maybe do things to make ourselves feel better rather than God making ourselves feel better about ourselves. You know, anything that's got self in front of it is not a good idea. And that would be self-worth and self-esteem and all those things. I don't want any self-worth or self-esteem that comes from self, because that is because I've tried to do something to make myself feel better about myself. I want my esteem to come from God and from how he thinks about me and what he says about me. I want my value and worth not to come from what I do, but from who I am and what God says about me and how he identifies me with my identity in him. So it's a whole process to make sure that we're not operating out of those things. You know, and it took me 2 or 3 years of real work. I mean, that's the stuff I do in my transformation series, which is like 20 part teaching series. It goes through the whole gamut of how you go through that, from dealing with bloodline, seed line, motives, behaviors, trading, all of it, to make sure we're coming from a pure heart and not mixture. You know, and it takes time. You know, it doesn't happen with a laying on of hands and it's just all disappeared. It's about our responsibility to make sure that we're not operating. And I have a whole teaching around that, which is about how to use circumstances and situations of trauma in our lives to lead us to transformation. And on one occasion, I was on my day off, and I was like, I came into the office to pick something up that I'd left, and I was ambushed by someone as I was leaving, and they gave me a whole hurl of different stuff, accused me of lots of different things, and you know, and I sort of responded okay, I didn't react too badly to it, but I did make some suggestions to them that, you know, if they would like to do it, and if they could do a better job, feel free. So, but when I went home, I spent the rest of the day sort of like thinking about it, and I kept replaying it in my mind, you know, should I have said something different? I should have said this, I should have said that. And I went through a whole sort of turmoil process, and God spoke to me really clearly, and he said, right, I'm going to teach you how to use things like this that are triggers and reactions that you have in your life to situations to train you to learn from them and to cause transformation in your life. So he taught me a whole process, and the first thing to do was forgive the person. You know, regardless of whether who was right or wrong, forgive and release them for what they've done. And if you are replaying an incident in your mind, then what you're doing is you're meditating and you're sowing the memory of that incident in your heart. And familiar spirits will get involved in helping you to do that process. And they turbocharge it, so that our heart gets weeds and stones and hardness as a result of not dealing properly with the things that we face. So then God spoke to me and said, right, what you need to do is you need to get revelation on what someone was saying. Is it true or is it not true? And so take it to the courts. Take the accusations to the courts and find out, is this a true accusation? If it's a true accusation, then own it and find out why, you know. And in this situation, I was accused of not doing something very well. And so I took this accusation. Is it a correct accusation? I felt God say, yes, it is. So first of all, then I had to humble myself and recognize that I shouldn't be defensive over it. Then I asked God, and God said, right, I want you to go through this process. Is this an area of weakness in your life because you've done something that has made it a weak area? Or actually, is it something I want you to do at all? So I asked God to show me in this instance, did he want me to carry on in the position I was in, carrying on doing it? And he said, no, you're only doing it because no one else would do it. So actually, better find someone else who's better at it and encourage them to do it rather than you do it. So I thought, well, hey, that's a really good idea. That gets me out of doing something I'm not really very good at. So is this a strength or is it a weakness? And if it's a weakness, does God want it to be a weakness so that you need to rely on other people rather than try and doing everything yourself? So I asked those questions. Then it was like, okay, if it's a weakness and that weakness is there because you've never been discipled or equipped or trained in that area, but God wants you to be better and stronger in that area, then go and find someone who's better than you and ask them to help you. Again, humbling yourself, realizing that you need other people. And so I learned a whole process, and I've got a whole diagram which explains how to ask those questions, what to do when you get the questions answered, then why are they there? And, you know, I found that was a really helpful thing that then I could apply to every trigger in my life. So why did I think that when someone said something? Why did I react that way when someone said something? That situation caused me to feel this way. Why? And by going to God through this process, I found out a whole load of things of why I thought the way I did, why I behaved the way I did, why I acted in certain ways, why I responded or reacted to different situations differently, and it set me free greatly. So whenever now someone says something and I find myself reacting to it, I can follow this process really quickly to see whether my reactions are good or bad and whether I need to do something about them. And so I embrace those things now rather than trying to avoid them. I embrace situations. And then God's, after I learned this process, he then said, right, now you can go and look at your heart and look at the motives of your heart and look at the things that are in your heart as a result of you doing these things in the past and sowing hard areas, weedy areas, and stony areas of memory within your heart. And so I then was able to go through the whole process again of asking God to show me the things that were in my heart. Then I could go and find out why were they there, get rid of them, deal with them. And you know, that helped a lot in clearing out my gateways, in clearing out things in my life which were hindrances, stumbling blocks, things that were blockages, because I couldn't see them. You know, we all have blind areas that it helps other people to be able to bring them into the light. And sometimes they do that in a really nice way, and sometimes they do that in a really horrible way, because they say nasty things about us or they do nasty things to us, but it provokes us, and our reaction will indicate whether there's something in that area. And I find that most of the times there's no smoke without fire, you know. And actually, if someone was saying something, even if it was 1% of something in there which was a hindrance, then I wanted to get rid of it. And actually, if it's not in me, it's probably in my generational line, which may be that it will be triggered in me at some time if I don't deal with it. So, you know, I found that I could embrace difficulties and trials and tribulations and troubles, because it says that they're the things that lead us to mature and to grow, even though we don't like them. But they do. So, you know, my encouragement in all these things is to make sure that we have all those areas of our gateways really purified and refined, and then we're going to be much easier to follow the leading of the Spirit, because it won't be clouded or confused by our soul, and particularly our emotions are prone to leading us astray because they're damaged. You know, it's probably the worst area of our life that is damaged is our emotions. But once they're healed and whole, they can be the greatest area of our life to move us to action and to respond correctly to situations. So, yeah, that's what I would encourage in that sort of thing.
That's good, because when I try to follow my intuition, it's like I have this another thing. It's not only based on uncertainty, but it's also based on the type of spiritual work that goes into it, where I can choose to just go with it and then allow God, like, it's like in a split of a second, it's like I surrender my will to Him to lead, and so I get like a picture, and I trust God, and He shows me go somewhere, do something, and I deal with fear, like emotions, and then but I feel a pull. It's like in a second I go through that. So I deal with this dilemma where either I should just sit back and try to break this down, you know, and try to figure out if I'm in the right, if I'm doing this right, or if I should just go and allow God to heal me and just to, you know, push me through the narrow gate. So it's like it could be both ways, you know. It can be like tune it up and go with it, you know, just.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No. Definitely. Yeah. That's good. Very good. Okay. So, has anyone else got anything they want to talk about today?
I thought that was really good. I think that would be a fun tool to give to people. You know what you're saying about the Restformation. Is that what you called it? Is it on your site or?
It's part of the Transformation series. I did a teaching on it. I sort of entitled it Trauma to Transformation. So okay. It's using those trials, troubles, tribulations to enable us to grow and to mature and to overcome and find healing and wholeness, really.
But, right, and how would we, you know, how would they find the resource if we wanted to share that with people? Go through that process, because that was fabulous, and I know it would take, you know, a long time to go through, but it's a great tool.
Yeah. I have it's in the Transformation series, so it's one of the sessions in there where I go through it, and you know, and I have actually sort of ministered to some people with it and used the diagram and just taken them through it themselves. I'll maybe try and post the diagram somewhere.
Yeah, on the Ian site, that would be good.
Okay, I'll see if I can dig it out and post it. So, trouble is, it's like it would, without the explanation that goes with it, it will look like a whole series of sort of boxes and flow diagrams and stuff to go with it. But you know, for the I mean, I've got all your email addresses. Maybe I'll just send it to you. It's probably the easiest thing.
Yeah, I can think of three people right now that I know that would be a great tool for them because they want to enter the courts, but they've got all those issues. So, you know, not issues, but, you know, we're all working through those gates because they do hinder us and they do stop the flow of what, you know, God is wanting to show them because they're being pulled back or sideways. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, things that come out of experience. I was planning to do like an e-book which explained it and went through it and gave testimonies of it. I just, like, it's one of those things on my list of things I would like to do.
But I understand.
Not quite got there yet. but it is good. It is good. It does work. It is quite effective if you're honest. You know, it's similar to lie busting yourself, really. You're asking God to show you the areas and why you react to certain things in a specific way. So you use those, use any trigger just to help you understand why the trigger's there.
Right.
And that really helps you then deal with the triggers. So yeah, no, that's good.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Hiya, Jody. Can see you there.
Hi. I just thought I'd show my face. I've looked a little bit really too tired this morning. I've got creases everywhere from sleeping, so. We just got back from an outreach. I don't know if Lainey told you. Did Lainey tell you?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay. We just got back from the New Age outreach, and so I'm pretty wiped out from that, but we just had some great times just practicing a lot of what we've been learning from, you know, just all that we've been receiving from you, Mike, and stuff, and it was just a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun, and, you know, some stuff I'm just not sure if, like, while we were sitting there in the tent while we were ministering to people coming into our tent, they just, one lady, I didn't know it, but she was seeing, like, for the first time, and I'm like, wow, I wonder if what we've been doing has been opening up her to be able to come in and see like that. She just was like, seeing, and she's like, wow. She says, I've never seen like that before. I'm like, really? And so I just felt like some of that was due to us kind of in stepping in and just kind of being a gateway for people to enter into experiencing the kingdom and stuff like that. But so it was really cool, and I just wanted to share that with you. And yeah, just we saw a lot of healing, and even what you're sharing right now and using the Liebust tools and stuff like that was very, very, very beneficial and helpful, and we just saw a lot of freedom. Oh, I know what I was going to say. One lady, I actually took her, I'm not even sure if I should have done this, but I took her out, and I just was telling her I saw her as a dancer, and she just broke down and started crying, and so I ended up taking her out into the galaxies where I dance. I dance out in the galaxies, and I took her out to the galaxies, and she just was so, like, I mean, I don't really know. She didn't go into detail about what she saw or anything when I did that, but it, you could just tell that there was a major thing going on in her from that experience. So it was really fun. It was really fun. So I just wanted to share that little bit with you. Yeah. And then the week, we've had a couple really busy weeks. Last, the week before, we did a retreat, and we actually shared on going into the courts. And so we took, you know, just the basics of stepping into the courts, and we shared that with people that have actually never heard anything about the courts like that before. So it was a lot of fun. So we've had really good couple weeks of just amazing stuff happening.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, it's always good to get testimonies of actually practical things that are out working from what we do. So
yeah.
is great. Yeah, very good.
I'll share something about it. Well, about 7 years ago, I had about 8 days where it was as if heaven came down and I was just walking in just this time. I mean, it's like all my hangers were perfect when I was organizing my closet. Everything showed up in the right exact spot. It was just like so bizarre. It wasn't a mania. It felt like a mania, but everything just came together. And I said, heaven has come to earth. And I wondered how long it would last. It was just amazing. It lasted about 8 days and then it left. And I always felt like it was a foretaste of a place I was going to walk. Kind of similar to what Ian talks about, where you're kind of in the two places at once. Well, when I do these events, it's getting more and more where I go into that place. And it's like, I almost dread the event because it takes so much energy. And like this time I had, it was at my house. So we had 10 people staying. We had hippies staying in our great room. We had all the beds and it was like a bed and breakfast. And then most of the meetings were at my house. And I was just like trying to keep up with being the hostess. And then I was the greeter of this event. And so there was a big demand on me. But man, was I in that place. It was like it didn't matter. Even though there were maybe 2 hours where I felt weak and I got a sore throat, I came out of it quickly. I got the team around me. And then I was back in that place. And it's like when you're doing the work, I'm sure that I haven't seen it on my scroll in writing, but I know it's on my scroll doing this kind of work because of I go into that place. And I, like Jody called me a day before and she said, "Hi, Lena, how are you?" And I said, "I'm doing good." And I said, "I'm in that place." And it was like, and so, and also my eye, something has been happening to my eye in the last 9 months. After I got back from Hawaii, one of these events, I found two orbs. They were like eyeball orbs. And the whole week, it was just myself and the leader, and we built a team. But the whole week was just, I was finding treasures. I was confronting things. It's like I had a spirit of might on me. I did not come here for this. I captured people out of darkness. I was just like, it was amazing. Well, then I got back, and right when I came back to Portland, my eyes were kind of doubled sometimes. And my right eye, it's almost as if it's forward like this. And it's a little high, but it's forward. And I see double from time. Like right now, I see double. So I'm seeing two things. And I've been working with it, and I might go to an eye doctor, but I know it's supernatural. I know. And maybe you have some insight into it, but when I'm at these events with these psychics and stuff, they're just looking at my eyes and going, "Oh my gosh!" Like one said, "I'm connected to Venus or something." But there's something happening, and I'm not sure how I'm going to get integrated to where my left eye catches up with my right eye or my body. But there's also my whole body structure is changing too. My posture is straightening. And I'm just going through this thing. So that's kind of part of this. It's very supernatural. Sure. So any insights or comments?
Okay. Well, sounds great. I mean, some of it is, yeah, you're learning to live in the overlap of two realms.
Yeah.
And in doing that, our physical body has not yet been transfigured enough to manifest fully what we're actually living in. And so there are physical changes and particularly genetic changes that need to take place within our DNA and triggers within our DNA which need to be turned on to release abilities and things that we have latent within us that need to be manifested through us. And, you know, as you say, it may well be just that there are certain things physically that are happening that are relating to that realm of the spirit that are bringing your body into alignment, and you're just in a process where that's being outworked, and so it will catch up eventually. I would use taking communion and breaking bread and apply it directly to your physical sight and to bring you your whole body into an alignment with the flow that's happening, and just target that specifically to see, you know, the complete outworking of it. Because what ultimately, you know, we will be able to be in habitation in both places at the same time, and that will need a facilitation of our body being able to manifest glory, like Jesus did in the Mount of Transfiguration. He began to shine and light came from him, and because his physical body was actually connected to that overlap realm in a much more clear way. And that's sort of the stuff we're learning really to engage in, which is, you know, it's pretty good stuff. And, you know, obviously, you know, you see the manifestation of it when people are being touched by it, and you're receiving, you know, boldness and revelation, and everything just starts to, the favor of God is starting to be outworked around you, because you're bringing heaven through your life as a gateway. You know, your eyes are a gateway, your ears are a gateway, what you touch is a gateway, but your whole body becomes a gateway so that heaven can manifest through you. But it will take change, you know, actual physical and genetic change to our bodies to be able to manifest that in fullness.
Do you recommend me going to an eye doctor and getting eye therapy, or do you think I should just do it in the spiritual? What's your sense, if you have one?
Well, to start with, I would when I take communion, and whenever you break bread or eat, and I would do it, you know, as much as you can, direct the resonant frequency of the body and blood of Jesus to bring physical transformation of your body into alignment with that spiritual dimension that you need to operate in.
Okay.
Yeah, and just really, really target that in what you speak, and use your words of faith to mix with those spiritual words so that you can connect up with that frequency, and apply that frequency to your eyes and to your sight specifically.
All right.
You know, so that, and, you know, see how that goes, you know.
Yeah. So. Another thing I didn't mention is that shortly after that, three peacocks came to our house, and we heard them all night, and then they were on our roof, and it's like, what? And so they were here for a week, and when I was taking pictures of them, we have about maybe 3/4 acre lot, and I was taking pictures, and I thought that as I was following them, they would go to the next lot, but they came around to the front door, and it's as if they wanted in our house. It looked like it was like peacocks for tea, and they just hung out around our fountain and stuff, and it was definitely like a sign and a wonder, these peacocks, you know, the eyes and the prosperity. It was just like very surreal. We have pictures. It's fun.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Great. Yeah.
Fun things.
Yeah, well, lots of things start happening like that when heaven's attracted to you. That's coming around you, so no, it's all good. So good
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I better leave it there. I've got